He answers prayer.
He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He's so good to.
And he's coming soon.
He's coming soon.
I can't wait.
He's coming soon. He's coming soon. He's so good to me.
Well, it's great to see everyone this morning. Just want to let you know, Brother Mark is not here. You probably noticed that. I'm sorry about that. But just in case we were wondering where he was, he decided to let us know. And he decided to rub it in this morning. And I hope he's logged in and listening. I told him, I said, that's not even right, man. That's just not right. But I wish him the best, I guess. And so let me get back to here. Anyway. Bless him. And it's his anniversary too, but somebody's got to do it, I guess. So,
are you supposed to celebrate anniversaries?
Did that come up? Well, if it's a blank screen, fine. All right, well, I'm going to go ahead and cobble my way through what Brother Mark does. We do have several wedding anniversaries this week. So, Brother Mark and Mrs. Randolph. And Lori, I hope she's included. I only see his name here on the list. So when they get back, we're going to have to ask them about this. I just see Mr. Mark Randolph, that's all, for wedding anniversary.
She said 10 years
of her life. So anyway, and then the Johnsons, that is Walter and Pam Johnson, happy anniversary to them. And then also the Burrises. Are they in here this morning? I saw Mrs. Burris yesterday. She was helping us out at the harvest party. How many were at the harvest party yesterday? Raise your hand. Thank you so much for your help. And Miss Christie is here. Brother Brown, he's upstairs. But they spearhead that event, and they do a wonderful job in coordinating and lining everybody up, and we had a great time. We don't have numbers back yet, accurate numbers, but it was, the property was full, and it was just a great time. God was good to us, and he allowed the weather to be really good for that. We did have to move it out out from off the grass and into the out in the parking lot here, and then in the Family Life Center, but that was just a minor hiccup, and it worked out really good. Thank you, Brother Bobby, Miss Christie, for all your hard work, and everybody that had a part in it. Y'all did a great job. Thank you so much. Also, well, that's it for anniversaries. We do have several birthdays as well. So Brother Bobby Brown, his birthday is on the 22nd. If you see him, you'll have to say happy birthday. Also, Buddy, yours is on the 22nd as well. Is Buddy here? There he is. I thought I saw you on the 22nd. Man, I won't ask you how old you are, but you're proud of it? Whatever it is, you're proud of it, all right? You're not telling it, but you're proud of it. Wonderful. Jennifer Garber, Miss Nicole Garber, she's back in the back there. She doesn't like attention drawn to her, so I'll be careful. I'll just say she's back in the back, and she's got her head down. It's her birthday. Sharon Harmon, let's wish Sharon a happy birthday. Where's Brother Craig? I saw him here. Oh, there he is. Brother Craig, tell Sharon that we said happy birthday. And Miss Marianne Stout also. Miss Sheila Ball, is she here? I thought, saw her yesterday, her and her husband. So, oh, there they are. Okay, there she is. Good to see you. Happy birthday. Dwayne Martin, I saw you this morning. I think I shook your hand. There he is. Happy birthday, Dwayne. And, of course, Brother Mark, I guess it's his birthday also. Man, he just doubles up, doesn't he? And then Jason Tigner. So this would be Holly's husband. Jason, are you in here this morning? There he is. Okay, happy birthday, man. Wonderful. Well, we've got a lot of birthdays, a lot of anniversaries, and it's a great thing That is something to be celebrated. I don't know who started it, but whoever did, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. Life is a wonderful thing to celebrate, is it not? And thank God for that. On the prayer requests, Brother Larry Gallion's son-in-law's mother, her name is Frances. She is super sick. He asked that we pray for her. And then they are away at the fair in Georgia. And he sent me a text this morning and said a 12-year-old girl got saved. They were able to lead her to the Lord. They've sown a lot of seed, but that is one that got saved. And then I have a list. Some of you will write in when the email comes to you with the list on Monday or Tuesday. You all send back those that we can remove from the list. I have a list of those to remove, and that is a wonderful thing. Thank God for answered prayer. Amen. Let's go to prayer real quick, and then we'll get started. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the answered prayer. We don't often do that, Lord, and I'm sorry about that. But Lord, we want to thank you for answered prayer. We want to thank you that you are a personal God. I was thinking this morning, Lord, of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. He's not just everyone's shepherd. He's my shepherd. And I thank you for that this morning. I thank you that you are a personal God. I thank you that every single request, every name that is mentioned, you take it personal. You know who each and every one of us are. You are a very personal God. Thank you for that, Heavenly Father. Lord, we thank you for those that are celebrating anniversaries in a day and age when there is an attack on the home and on marriage. Thank you for those celebrations. Lord, we thank you for birthdays. Thank you for each person that celebrates a birthday this week. And Lord, thank you for another year. And Lord, I pray that you'd use and bless each and every one. Lord, be with us now as we go into our study in the book of Romans. Lord, it has been an honor and a privilege to read and to study your word. And Lord, I'm blessed to be able to share this morning your word and to be able to, Lord, just learn more and grow in you. Lord, I'm thankful for that privilege. Thank you for our class. We thank you for the Victory Bible class and what they mean to me, Lord. And Lord, thank you for what they represent. And thank you that each and every week as they go out to their respective homes and jobs and wherever they shop, wherever they are, Lord, thank you that there's a lighthouse that is spread throughout this whole area. And I pray that you would use each and every one of us for your honor and for your glory. May what we learn not just stay with us. May it get shed abroad. And Lord, I pray that your love would extend to others that need to know about you. As we view and as we see your soon return, Lord, I pray that we'd be a great witness and a lighthouse. We love you, Jesus. Please be with us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. All right, Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Last week we were continuing our study. We were continuing our study in Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21. Romans 12, verse 9 says, "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another." Verse 11 says, "Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them that persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. And if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. We were looking at Romans 12 here, verse 9 through 21, and we were looking at the relationship, the Christian, with mankind, with his fellow man. And we saw in verse 9 in that first part how that we are to have sincere love without hypocrisy. That's what dissimulation means. It means sincere, non-hypocritical love. We looked at 1 Corinthians 13 and how that Paul here teaches that all exercise of spiritual gifts and spiritual service must be done in genuine love or it will be meaningless. Anything you do towards a fellow man, anything you do towards God in your service to God, if it is not done in love, it is meaningless. We also saw in the second part of verse 9 that we are to intensely hate all sin. It's okay to hate sin. It's okay. God hates sin. Remember Proverbs says, these six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, and feet that be swift in running to evil. A false witness that spreads lies, and he that sows discord among brethren. Those are some things that God hates, and he hates them so bad they are an abomination to him. That's heavy. That's heavy. It's okay to hate the right thing. Hate sin, the Bible says. In verse 9, that last part says we are to strongly hold to all that is good. Strongly hold. Now, there may not be as much good today as there was 50 years ago, but there is still some good today. One of the things that we can hold to that's extremely good is the Word of God. Amen. And by hold to, that means we guard it in our heart. We memorize it. We practice it. We study it. We learn it. We meditate on it. We hold to that which is good. Hold to that which is good. And then in chapter 12, verse 10, it talked about we are to have kind affection and brotherly love for one another. One for another. Now, that can be difficult at times. Not all of us are lovely, all right? Not all of us are somebody, or we don't always behave in such a way that would have someone love us. But just in case we are fit in that category, then later on we read how that we're supposed to love our enemies too. So God covers all the bases. Whether you fall in the lovely kind or the enemy kind, you are to be loved. And it is my responsibility as a believer towards my fellow man, it is my responsibility to love. Whether it be somebody that's easy to love or whether it be somebody that are downright hateful. The Bible says I'm supposed to love them. I didn't say Leroy, I just said downright hateful. You chose to speak up on that one, Leroy. I didn't. But anyway, back to our scripture here. We are to humbly, prefer others above ourselves. If every individual just followed this, would this world not be a better place to live? And I can even go, even just narrow it down. If we as believers, if the body of Christ, if the church, if we were to practice this, if we were to humbly prefer others more than ourselves, this world would be a different place. The world would be a different place. Humbly preferring ourselves, others above ourselves, with love that places others first. You say, Brother Dan, I don't know if I can do that. I can tell you, you can do that. This is how I know that you can do that. You have God's love in you. It's in you. So you have the source. Now, whether or not we want to, that's a whole nother thing. But you have what it takes. You have the love of God in you. If you are a believer, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you have God's love in you. You have the ability to love others above yourself. And then in verse 11, he talks about we are to replace lazy half-heartedness with a flaming to the boiling point intensity in the service of God. We need to be all in. All in. Did he pay the ultimate price for you or did he not? And if he did, then we should be all in for him. He expects nothing less. If that's what he can do for me, there's no way. And I'm not doing it to pay him back because I cannot pay him back. I'm not doing it out of guilt. I'm not doing that out of guilt. I'm doing it, my motivating factor for serving God. And serving God with an intensity, my motivating factor is love. Is love. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for loving me unconditionally. And in return, I want to do everything I can to love you with all that I am. And so we serve like that. We replace laziness with boiling point intensity. God hates indifference. He doesn't like lukewarm. We know that by the scripture in Revelation. There's a warning to a church in Revelation that talks about, because you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. How many like lukewarm coffee? No? Some even hate cold coffee, but God says, I'd rather be either cold. I'd rather have a cold coffee than a warm coffee, is what God's saying. So we need to be intense for him. Number 12, we are to rejoice in hope and endure in trials by continuing instant in prayer during our problems. Will we have problems? Absolutely. Absolutely. Why? Because we live in a broken world. You live in a broken world, the consequence of sin on this world is being very evidently shown today. And we've seen the deterioration throughout the years, and it's going to get worse. That is the consequence of sin entering into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. We're seeing the results of that. And in a problematic world, we are not exempt. We're saved, we're changed, but we're not exempt from experiencing problems. Your tire will go flat. You'll hit a hole in the middle of the road that'll destroy something. That happens. It happens to good people. It happens to bad people. It happens to all people. That's just part of life. You will get sick at some time or another. Why? Because there's sickness in this world. So keep that in mind. We're not exempt just because we're saved and we're children of God. We are to rejoice in the hope, though, and endure. I could not imagine living this life, going through everything that we go through without hope in God, without the promise of eternal life, without the look at the fact that it won't be long. And those loved ones who have gone on before, we are going to be with them there longer than we're without them here. It's going to be an amazing time, and we will forever be with our Lord. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful time. We're to rejoice in that. We also, verse 13, we're to give to the needs of whom? Of whom? Of the saints. Sometimes that's hard. You go to church with somebody, well, I don't want to give to him. It's sometimes easier for us to give to somebody that's on the street corner with a sign than it is for us to look around. This is why. Because you have to be invested in a relationship with somebody that's around you. Now, trust me, this isn't a hard one for me. Why? Because I am by nature an introvert. Everybody laughs when I say that. But I do not like to be in front of crowds. I like to hide. I'm not a people person. You say, Brother Dan, you shouldn't say that. What you see is what God has done in me, and God pushes me. He kicks me out in front of people. I'll never forget. When I grew up, we grew up in a missionary family, and the six of us kids, and when we were younger, we were stair-stepped. Donnie, Danny, Denise, David, Deb, and Doug. And middle initials are C and last name. Everybody's a DCR. And we'd stair-step, and you know, how cute. And we'd get up there and we'd sing, "Born again, there's really been a change in me." You know, we'd sing. And my mom, she'd stand behind us. My dad played the accordion, you know. And my mom would stand behind us, and every so often, you know, we'd always like to, you know, scooch back. And if we're not careful, we'd be back in the choir loft, you know. And my mom would always do this. You know, I hated that. She just there push us forward. And you can get bent out of shape like that, but you also get your tail feathers walloped if you respond wrongly. I didn't like to be out in front of people. But the Bible says that we're to give to the needs of saints. In order to give to the needs of the saints, you have to know what the needs of the saints are. In order to know what the needs of the saints are, you have to be somewhat involved in conversation with the saints to find out what they're going through. It requires a commitment to relationships. It requires getting to know people. How many would be honest? We're going to exercise a little extrovertedness here. How many would be honest and say it's a little difficult to start conversations with people I don't know? Now, some are good at it. Leroy could talk to a fence post. And I've no doubt the fence post would talk right back to him. But we're not all Leroys. How many would say it's difficult for me to talk to somebody else? You'd admit it. You'd raise your hand. It's hard to talk to somebody, especially somebody I don't know. Especially if that person has been coming to this church for 30 years and I've been coming 20. And I walk up to them and say, "Hi, my name is. Are you new here?" That's awkward. That's awkward. But you can get by with it when you're old. That's right. So we have to get invested. We have to. That's why the Bible is putting this in here, that we're to give to the needs of the saints. And the needs of the saints, they're not always monetary. It could be just 5 minutes of your time. It could be a shake, a handshake. It could be what that saint needs is a smile. It could be what that saint needs is to know that they were missed the Sunday they didn't come. It could be as simple as that. Thank you for taking time to ask me about how I'm doing. It could be as simple as that. Verse 13 also says that we're to be friendly. How many friendlies do we have here? Raise your hand. Nobody says, well, next thing you know, he's going to ask if I'm humble.
I'll raise my hand to that.
Friendly. It doesn't cost anything to be friendly. It doesn't cost anything to smile. In fact, they tell me that it takes more muscles to frown than it does to smile. And it's wonderful when someone walks in the room, they got a smile on their face, and they light the room up. It's awesome. Be friendly. The Bible's asking us to do that. If the Bible's asking us to do that, then that must mean that we have difficulty in doing that. So let's be friendly. Let's be friendly. It doesn't cost anything. Also, it says in verse 14 that we are to speak kindly. And this one stings. I'll just be honest with you. This one stings just a tad. Be kindly to those who hurt us. By cracky, you hurt me, so help me. To those that hurt us, bless them which persecute you. Man. And then it, just in case we didn't get it, it says, bless, not curse, bless, and curse not. That's tough. Why should I bless those that curse me, that persecute me? I don't want to help them. You're not helping them. You're helping you. Who gets bent out of shape? Them or you? They go on their way. A lot of times they don't even know they did it. And we stay all stewed up and bent out of shape, and it just ruins our day. Did you see what they did? And it just chews on us. And then when we least expect it, it comes back and visits us. I can't believe they did that. Who does it affect more? You or them? You. It'll chew you to pieces. That's why God says, bless them. I love the South. They come up with, bless your heart. I love it. But that's actually biblical. Bless your heart. May God work on your heart. Bless and not curse. Number next, we are to hurt and rejoice together as a church, having empathy and not mere sympathy. Now, God made us all different. Some of us are more empathetic than others. And I didn't say pathetic, I said empathetic, meaning we feel what others feel. Some more than others. But the scripture here is saying that we rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. It's okay. It's okay to be involved enough in someone else's life that when something happens in their life, you hurt for them. It's so easy to do. Again, I say that perhaps I don't know, but perhaps maybe I'm a little more empathetic than others are. But all you have to do is put yourself in their place and think about when you're praying for somebody, think about what it's like to go through what they're... Think about who would that affect in your life? Who would that affect in your life? How would it affect your life? What they're going through? How would that change your life? And then that allows you not just to be sympathetic, it allows you to be empathetic. It allows you to weep with them. It allows you to... When something good happens in their life, how would that feel if that was you? Oh, man, that's great. And that also helps with being jealous when something good happens to somebody and it doesn't happen to you. If you rejoice with them that are rejoicing because they got a brand spanking new 2024 pickup truck, and you truly, empathetically rejoice with them, that is awesome. That is wonderful. They'll feel it. And they also know if you're not meaning it. Great. Would you like to park it up front? You know? So we all can see it? They know. They know. Rejoice with them that rejoice. Be happy with somebody that's happy. Be sad with somebody that's sad. This is hitting right where we live here. Number next, verse 16. We are to replace stubborn self-will with a spirit of oneness and unity, and replace pride with humility. Be of the same mind, one toward another. And then he says, don't mind the high things, but literally condescend yourself. That means get down to where they are, to men of low estate. Annis Bernard just passed away, went to heaven. I got to meet her briefly in the last few months of her life. Some of you had the privilege of knowing her and working with her. I'm told that she'd pull into some awful-looking places in her Cadillac and hop out fully blinged out. She loved bling. Hair done up, and she'd get out there and she'd go and she'd mingle with people of low estate. Why? Because she loved them. She wanted them in church. She wanted them saved. Didn't bother her one bit. They didn't bother her either, because they knew she loved them. Last moments I got to spend with her, she was crying. She said she couldn't wait to get to heaven to see some of those that were on her bus route that were in heaven already. And her husband, she said, I want to see him too. I miss him, she said. It does us well. It does us well to condescend to men of low estate. It helps us. It helps us be appreciative. It helps us value what God has entrusted us with. It helps us not to get too big for our britches. It helps us be grateful. Be not wise in your own conceits. That means take pride and replace it with humility. We can be proud about certain things that God has allowed us to be and do, places He's allowed us to go. It's easy to get proud about that, but God says we shouldn't. He says we should not. Number next, I don't know about you, but man, this is getting heavy, isn't it? Verse 17, recompense or reward to no man evil for evil. It's easy to answer back as you were spoken to. It's easy to respond in the same manner that someone responded. And this shows itself up in today's society and economy. People are downright rotten and ugly to each other today. I'll just be straight up with you. It doesn't matter where you're at. People are so impatient right now. People on the highway, people are so impatient. You don't have to do anything wrong, and they'll get mad at you. And it's so easy to respond in like manner. And God says, That's not what we're supposed to do. That's not supposed to. You say, well, they'll just walk all over me. Well, then be walked all over. He doesn't give us an out. He says, recompense to no man evil for evil. He says that we are to defeat evil by repaying it. How? With good. You do not defeat evil by being more evil. That's like a V8 moment. Duh. Could have had a V8. Right? You don't create more evil and then expect to eradicate evil. You repay evil with good. And somebody has to be the grown-up. Somebody has to not respond in like manner. Somebody's got to be the one that instead of responding in hate, you respond in love. Instead of yelling in response, you speak softly in response. Somebody's got to be the grown-up. And this applies to anybody in any situation. Do not recompense evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Defeat evil by repaying it with good. Verse 17 is talking about living above reproach also in every area. The Bible talks about avoiding even the appearance of evil or any situation that could be interpreted as sinful. In its context, the specific area of concern here is involving yourself in disputes where even if you are right, your testimony will be destroyed to those on the other side of the conflict. Even if you're right, I ask you this. Was Christ wrong or was he always in the right? And how many times did Christ say or choose not to open his mouth? He could have annihilated someone just like that, and yet he chose to open not his mouth. As a lamb led to the slaughter, he chose not to. And I would say, if Christ can do that for me, it's really not that big of a deal for me to do that with others. As much as it depends upon you, verse 18, live peaceably with all men. What does that tell you? Well, that tells you that you're not going to be able to get it done in every situation. Sometimes people are just difficult. And it doesn't matter what you do. You can talk nicely to you when they're screaming at you, but the Bible says as much as lieth within you, you do your part. You do your part. And then you let God take care of the rest, because then he leads into verse 19. Never avenge yourself, but instead trust God to defend you. I've tried this in different scenarios in my life, and I have chosen the road. And I'm not saying, you know, oh, be like Dan. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I've tried it and it works. I haven't been perfect in this. I haven't done what I should every single time. By the way, those that are getting up and leaving, they're mad. That's why they're leaving. No, that's not true. They have responsibilities that they have to go tend to, and it's that time. So, but anyway, never avenge yourself, but just trust God. Ask yourself this question: can God do a better job at avenging me than I can? Ask yourself, can God do it in such a way, in a loving manner, and can he take care of business much better than I can take care of business? And I've seen that happen. I've seen it work in my life. And God has a way of not only taking care of the situation, but of drawing that individual that wronged me, drawing that individual back to himself and correcting a wrong way in that individual's life. But it is hard to let God take it, because we have so many ideas of how we can handle a situation. Boy, I can settle that just like this. I know what I could tell them, or I know how I can do, and this would take care of that just like that. And God says, you let me handle that. Because what he does is he takes wrong and he works that thing around and he makes good out of it. And he makes all kinds of good out of it. God not only has the only one who has the right to avenge, but he also will do it far more effectively than you and I would. Given exactly what is due, God does that. He does give what's due. Never more or less. And he never hurts the innocent parties. Never does. There's not fallout when God takes care of business. How do you get rid of your enemies? Verse 20. Make them your friends. You eliminate you make the enemy list small by making them your friends. And you will thus defeat what Satan has in mind. For it is Satan who inspires others to do evil to you. Satan's real motive and goal in moving them to do evil to you is to destroy you by causing you to sin, by causing you to get angry and retaliate and bitter and unforgiveness. If Satan can make you ineffective, then you're of no good for the service of the Lord. He can't get your soul anymore. That's been locked, sealed, and delivered. But he can make you an ineffective Christian. Well, there's a few things of the responsibilities that we have towards mankind. Next Sunday, we will look at the Christian's responsibilities towards government and towards morality. Thank you so much. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for what you've allowed us to see this morning. And Lord, I pray that I would live according to your word. Lord, I pray that I would allow you to take care of things in my life. You have given me everything that I need to live effectively for you. Please help me to allow you to do that work in my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you, Lord.